That's right. Now they don't like the black goats anymore.
No, but now we have a blind one leading us. So that's pretty sad.
Okay, Rabosa, here we are, Yisrochag morning. What an exciting day. And we're holding on that Chof Hay and Tmura. A little exhausted and worse for the wear.
Yes.
Were you okay on St. Christina? You looked like it was hard, not enough people?
No. It was, my head would happen to be somewhat, I wasn't very, Samadhi.
Yeah, I know.
So much. Yeah, I had other things going on.
Oh, it wasn't because
of that. No, not at all. On contrary, I quite enjoyed it.
Ah, okay, good.
I think it's
it's very sweet, thank
the
you.
The Kahila aspect of the
Yeah.
It was too bad that when
Kahila
came over.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to give it a chance to how it's done there.
Yeah, it's really kind of awesome.
There was a particular damage there, but
There were 200 people jammed into it. This wasn't much possible.
Are we at the top of the cafe?
Yeah, we're right at the top. Actually, the first word. So the thing that we had in the Mishnah was fascinating, that if the animal gives birth to a tumtum or an androgynous, and you had said that if it has a male, you want it to be this, and if it's a female, you want it to be a shlomi. And we said this was true. Basically, we had three cases, and it turns out that it covers both if the original animal was born to a mother who was having a firstborn, or the mother was an animal of Hegdesh, and therefore the child was automatically Hegdesh because it was born to a Hegdesh mother. Problem over here is, why in the world, if the animal has a tumtum vandrogonus, why would we say that if its mother was Kodesh, that Kedusha would not be chal on a tumtum vandrogonus? Tumtum vandrogonus is, okay. So why would that be true? You look the worst for wear. Kasova Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Ladot Kodashim Ba'avayatan Hin Kedoshim. It's because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who is the author of the Shita, who says that Ein Kedusha Chala Aleihem, he holds that when an animal is Hegdesh and becomes pregnant, that child becomes Kodesh only at birth. Since it becomes Kodesh only at birth, the moment of birth, we find the animal that was a fetus being unsuitable for the Mizbeach. Because the Vandrogonus cannot be put on the Mizbeach. Since it can't be put on the Mizbeach, it does not get Kedushas on the Mizbeach. Masha'enke, if we would have held that an animal becomes Kodesh in formation as a fetus, then it would have been Kodesh no matter what, because its mum only became clear at a later stage of fetal development when the genitals were obviously capable of being looked at. But over here, before it was formed, there was already Kodesh, and therefore you can't take off the Kedusha because it grows into a Balat Mum, so to speak. So this is, the Gemara explains, the Isakadatech, if you're going to entertain the notion that mimei iman hin kedoshin, that actually they become kodesh in utero, amayin kedusha chola aleihem. Why would he say that they're not kodesh just because they're tumtum androgynous? Hatafastinu kedushat imayim. Clearly, the kedusha of their mother has grabbed them as each cell forms. Ela shmamina, we have no choice but to conclude that vlodei kodeshim b'havayatan hin kedoshin. That actually, the children that are born to an animal of Kodesh will be Kodesh only at the actual birth. And that is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's Shita. However, the high Tana, the following Tana, the Mishnah says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it means it's somebody, that this is not a Stam Psak, it's a Psak specifically like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Here is the Tana that holds not like that. Here is the Tana, the following Tana holds, that a child born to an animal that is Kadesh is kodesh while it's still in the uterus. It doesn't need to wait for the birth like a bechor does, because we darshan the following plus the Tanur Rabanan. Ilu ne'emar bechor lo yagdish. Now, actually, what it says in the pasuk is, Ach bechor asher yuvukar la'Hashem ba'be'emar lo yagdish ish oto. It's a very, sort of very grammatically unwieldy pasuk. Ach bechor asher yuvukar la'Hashem ba'be'emar lo yagdish ish oto. I mean, okay. Let's examine the pasuk with each word as it goes. Let's say, if it would have said just the words, Bechor lo yadvish, I would have thought that that means a human Bechor cannot be magdish these. Bechor lo yadvish. So he'd yomer, Bechor lo yadvish ekdeshot. A human Bechor, a human firstborn, cannot make an animal kodesh. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Lo yakdish ish oto. Oto meaning that there's some object. There's an oto. Oto yata magdish. Aval ata aval magdish adam bechor hekdeshot. So the first thing we learn out is that lo yakdish ish oto. Again, this is not what it really means. But we're trying to examine what the pasuk would mean as we parse it before we look at it completely.
Right,
it's not clear. In other words, because that's what's unwieldy about the pasuk. It seems to put in its adjectives in the wrong place and switch the object to the subject and so on. So we're trying to parse it in a way that makes it clear. So let's just take the words Ach Bechor Lo Yagdish. Okay, now that would mean a human being cannot make anything heavy. But then it says Oto. Oto would mean a human Bechor cannot make an equivalent to himself kodesh. Lo yakdish ish oto. He can't make kedusha on a Bechor animal. But he can make kedusha on other animals, as long as they're not Bechoros.
A non-Bechor can
make a kodesh on anything. Right. Very, very strange person. That's what it would be saying. Right?
What's
that?
What do you mean
he can't make a dish? He's not allowed to say this animal should be kodesh as something.
Human Bechor.
That's what it was. There's no such thing. You walk in later, then you're shot. But that's good. What we're doing is we're taking apart a pasuk to show what it doesn't mean. So we're saying, okay, if the pasuk said that what the pasuk really does say is Ach Bechor Asher Yuvukar LaHashem Ba'Behema Lo Yagdish Ish Oto. So clearly, what it's saying is a Bechor that is a Bechor of a Behema. You're not allowed to switch its kedusha to something else. But we want to know why the pasuk is written in such an unwieldy way. So we say, okay, let's say it says it would have just said Bechor lo yakdish. So that would have meant that human Bechor can't make hekdesh. If we throw in the word Bechor lo yakdish oto, so then we've added an object, right? Specific object. A Bechor cannot be magdish it. Ah! That would mean a Bechor cannot be magdish a Bechor of an animal to be something else. But it could be magdish other animals. To be, let's say, an oila or something, right? Yeah, but still, that would mean only a Bechor can't be magdish a Bechor to be something else. But a non-Bechor, a simple Jew, could go ahead and be magdish something, a Bechor, to be something else, right? So a Dayan and Neomer, okay, who lo yagdish? Aba yagdish el akherim, other people would be able to make a Bechor into an oila, let's say. Talmud Lomar, no ba-behema, for heaven's sakes. Ach Bechor Asher Yivukar LaHashem. What kind of Bechor Asher Yivukar LaHashem? Ba'behema, not Adam. We're not even talking about humans. We're talking about a Bechor that is Kodesh Ba'behema. Lo Yagdish Ish Oto. No one should try to be Magdish it for something else. That's what it means. So Yachol, I might think that means Lo Yagdisheno Bebetan. Maybe it means that you can't be magdish it even before it was born and got the kedushah of Bechor. It only gets the Kedusha of Bechor when it's Poter Rechem. So it's only as it's born that it becomes a Bechor. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, don't think that it means you can't change it in the uterus. It says, and this explains finally the last parts of the Pasuk, Ach Bechor Asher Yivukar La Hashem. I mean, that is about as redundant as you can get on the surface. A Bechor, which is a Bechor to the Lord. Ach Bechor Beimah. No. The point is, a Bechor having become Kodesh already, the Kedush is Bechor to the Lord, meaning that was already born, and it is of a Beimah, not a human. No ish should be magdish it for any other purpose as long as it was already born. But if it's before it was born, such as the case of our Mishnah, then there's no prohibition on making it something else. So therefore, Misha Yivukar La Hashemi Ata Magdisho, it's only after it became Kodesh to God, then you can't be magdish it for something else. Aval Ata Magdish Babeten, but you could make it Kodesh to be something before it's born, because it does not yet have the Kedushat Bechor, so that's the case of our mission. You said, let it be an Oila, okay? So if you made it an Oila, then it won't be Chal, the Kedushat Bechor, when it's born. You might think, Yochol Afladei Kol HaKadashim, okay? You might think that you could do the same thing with any animal that's Kodesh that becomes pregnant, and you could say, before it's born, well, it doesn't matter what the mother is. Let's say the mother is a Shlomim. Child should be an Eila, just like it says in the Mishnah. Child was meant to be a Bechor when it was born. So you might think you do the same thing with a child that was meant to be a Shlomim when it's born. You say, no, if it's a male, I want it to be an Eila. So you might think you could do the same thing there. Talmud Lomar, Ach! And that explains finally the first word of the Pasuk. Now, only at the very end do we come around to understand the entire Pasuk. Ach! Specifically in the following case, a Bechor Asher Yivukar La Hashem has already been born. When we're talking about an animal, not a human Bechor, Lo Yakdish Ish Oto, no one can make it, specifically it, into something else once it's been born. And only this case, not a case of an animal which is Kodesh that has a child in the uterus, which you might think also is included in this, only if it's born, you can't do anything with it. No. Over there, even before it's born, you can't change it. Now, why is that? Obviously, because the Pasuk is telling you, according to this Man D'Yomar, the Pasuk is telling you that the animal, as it develops, carries with it the Kedusha of the mother. Therefore, how can you change it? It's too late. As the fetus grows in the uterus, it's already an shlomim. How can you change it to be an oila?
Different than
Bechor. That's the ach. The ach comes to me. Don't think that the din of Bechor is similar to the din of an animal that's a child to a Kodesh animal. The Kodesh animal is Kodesh even while it's still in its mother. The Bechor is Kodesh only when it's born, and from that follows the question whether I can make it Kodesh as something else before it's born or not. Alma Sphere, so what must you conclude that this Tana holds logically about the nature of Vladot Kadashim? Clearly he holds that Vladot Kadashim im e iman he Kadashim. They are Kodesh, according to him, even while they are in their mother's uterus. Omele Rav Amram, so in other words, we have a Machlokas. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah clearly holds, since he says that an androgynous is not Kodesh, he must hold that it's only at the moment of birth that the child of a Kodesh animal becomes Kodesh. And since at the moment of birth it's clear that he's unsuitable for the Mizbeah, the Kedusha is not Chal on him, a Kedusha Zagur.
The Mafreya?
Huh? No, the Mafreya. Since the Kedusha has to be Chal now, at the moment of birth, not Bechor. No, that's you said, there's a machlokas. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and our Mishnah holds that you look at it only at the moment of birth, and at the moment of birth, if it's not suitable for the Mizbeach, then there's no Kedusha that's Chal on the androgynous. Masha Inkin, our bride that we just brought, is the Tana that argues on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and learns from this Pasuk that actually a Kodesh animal, a child is Kodesh as it develops in the uterus, and therefore wouldn't make a slightest bit of difference if it's an androgynous or not. Because it was Kodesh before it was an androgynous. Each cell became Kodesh as the fetus developed.
In utero.
Yeah, you don't send it. The genitals only develop later on. I'm not going to be able to see if it's an androgynous as it develops.
But it was an androgynous.
What does that mean? Yeah, the fact that it was genetically programmed to be an androgynous is irrelevant. You don't say that now it's this Galil and not Freya. It's Kodesh. Doesn't matter. Don't use it. Sell it. Eat it.
Eat it?
Put it and eat it? Sure? That's my focus. Whether it's Ein Lecha Mum Gadol Mizeh, that was the whole discussion we had back in before.
That includes an animal that's the wrong sex for the
Korban. No. It does not include an animal that's the wrong sex, because that animal is suitable for the Mizbeah. So there we have the Kedushas HaGuf. Okay, but over here, it says, Bechlau, the Kiddush was never Chal, according to it. Ain't no Kodesh at all. Omer Leh Rav Amram Leh Rav Sheshes. You know, the Mishnah seems to say that you had to have the Kiddushah of the Olah that you made on it, Chal, first, before the Kiddush of the Bechlau's Chal, right? So in other words, you say, while it's in the uterus, okay, if it's male, I want it to be an Olah. So then, at the moment that it's born, it will not become a Bechlau. How about if you phrased it that you want it to become an Ola as it is born? So now it has basically two possibilities as it's being born. Its natural state would be to be a Bechor, but somebody said it should be an Ola. Is the idea that the Kedushas Ola comes first and doesn't allow the Kedushas Bechor to be Chal? Or is it the idea that Kedushas Ola is greater than the Kedushas of Bechor? And therefore, if it's a choice or one or the other, we give it the Kedusha which is greater, which is the Kedusha of the Ayla. If it's the latter, then even if I would have said that it should become Kodesh as an Ola as it's born, so then since I have a choice, either Bechor or Ayla, and the Ayla is a higher degree of Kedusha, the Ayla would then be Chal and be Tefesid, and not the Kedusha as a Bechor. So what would be the din? Let's just see that inside. I'd like to know, said Rav Amram to Rav Sheshes, if you say on a Bechor, meaning on an animal that is mibakeret, that's carrying a Bechor in its uterus, so what you say is, as Yitziat Rubo, thank you very much, as Yitziat Rubo, meaning at the moment that it's called technically born, which is the same moment, which is when most of it has come out, it's the same moment that it would have been Kodesh as a Bechor, I want it to be an Ola. Well, what's the din? Ola havi or Bechor havi? How do we look at it? Do we say that it's an Ola because Kol Purta the Konafik Kalil? Because, I mean, basically what we're saying is that since it's a higher level of Kedusha, this Purta Bepurta is very disturbing, and indeed Rashi doesn't seem to have it. The Gro points out that it's not. It's the gears of it clearly wasn't in front of Rashi. There's no point of Kol Purta Bepurta every little bit. It's in Yitziat Rubo. He takes out that purta upurta, and he just says, doha kalil. Since it's a higher degree of kedusha, therefore it's decha the bechor, when you have a choice of which one. Oh, maybe we should say that it's a bechor habit, because the kol purta de konaf b'milta. I mean, it's what it is naturally. That comes first, before what I need to assert over it, which is the kedusha of Ayla. How do I look at it? Now, there's another Lushan here, Lushna Afrina. Do we say, Shekein Kedusha Chayalai, the greater Kedusha is Chal on it? Or Dilma Bechor Havi Shekein Kedusha Tomirechem? Or do we say, that which the Torah defines as an innate Kedusha, which comes from birth, is more powerful to be Chal, even though the other one is a higher level of Kedusha? Because this, after all, is its natural state. It doesn't require your Amira to make it into the Eilat. What's bothering you, my dear friend? It's rather clear what the answer to this is. This is not the first time this question has been asked, except that what you're doing is you're getting so involved in the details, you're not recognizing the abstraction of the question. The truth is, in the abstract, this is precisely the question that Ilfa asked, okay? And it was answered long ago. He asked the same question, but it was couched in a completely different case. What was his case? It's fascinating how how the Gemara sees the abstraction of the question. I mean, on this, again, on the surface, somebody sees one is a question in Zoyim, one is a question in Kachim, and nothing to do with each other. But it's obviously the same thing. Somebody says on a grain of wheat that's about to fall off.
And, one grain?
Yeah, it's about to fall off. And he says, you know what? Anything that is going to fall off, I am hereby mafkir it as it falls. Now, the thing is, if you're mafkir it, then it does not have the kedusha of leket to go to aniyim when it falls off. It's just hefker for everybody. Aniyim can have it, but so can ashirim. Now, in a sense, listen to this. This is beautiful. When I'm being mafkir it, I'm giving it more of a hefker than it's leket. Right? So in other words, its natural state would be to be hefker only for aniyim. But a rich person can't take it. But what I'm saying is, I want it to be even more hefker. Which is the same thing as the bechor would have a natural state. At the moment of its birth, it would be kodesh on the level of bechor. I'm saying I want it to be even more kodesh. I want it to be an ayla. And it's go completely on in his behalf. Right? So it says now Rav Amram, this is exactly the question, exactly the same question. I mean, it says to Rav Amram, exactly the same question that Ilfa asked. Here you've got a leket that's about to be born. When is it born? When most of it is broken out. Now it's falling. Just like the Bechor, when most of it is out of the uterus. So now it's being born. At that moment it has a natural state, just like a Bechor has a natural state. The natural state of the Bechor is to be Kodesh B'Bechora. The natural state of the Leket, of the grain, is to be Leket. You are trying at the moment that its natural state is happening, you're trying to do something which will now subsume the natural state and go beyond it. Not enough that it should be Hefker just for the poor. I want it to be Hefker for everybody. Or in the Bechor. Not enough it should be a Bechor and only be Kodesh, Kachim, Kalim, and so on and so on. I want it to be an Ayla and go up entirely on the Mizbeach. Is that the same question? Absolutely. Now, over there, when Ilfa asked it, Abaya answered him with a real sharp answer. Abaya said to him, Marti Barilacha. Basically, what we have over here is a situation of Divrei Arav and Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishomim. God says he wants it to be for Aniyim. You say you want it to be for Ashirim. Who should we listen to? It's the same thing over here. God said this is supposed to be a Bechor. You say that's not good enough for me. I want it to be an Ayla. Who should we listen to? You or God? But since over here what you're attempting to do is take that moment and define it differently, obviously the pasuk was only being mad to you if you act preemptively. In other words, you cannot preempt the kedusha, but you can't give it a choice and say my choice is better, even though it's more kodesh. It's actually so exciting to see this type of logic.
If you're not familiar with the Nietzsche t-shirt,
no.
What is the quote that says, God is dead, Nietzsche? And then the one that says,
oh,
Nietzsche is dead.
Yeah, I
saw that. Why is it more kodesh?
Which one? The Ayla?
No.
Ayla versus the Bahar?
No, the Lekid. Why is that more?
It's more Hefker.
Does that make it more kodesh?
No, the Lekid is in kodesh. We're saying in the abstract, the Chalos in this case, Chalos doesn't have a clear cut. Chalos means a status that is defined by whatever din the Torah gives it. Creates a state, and it's called the Chalos. We're comparing the abstraction of the Chalos. The Chalos by Leket is a state in which your ownership isn't enough to control it, and therefore it's open to aniyim. What you want to do is you want to increase that state by taking off your ownership completely and giving it away to everybody. So that is equivalent in the state of Kedusha to have a Kedusha that's only given to Kohanim. You want to increase the state of that Kedusha by giving it entirely to God. So there, when Uzi said that, that's the beauty of it. He's comparing it entirely as an abstraction of the nature of a state. And he's saying, well, it's obvious. I mean, we already asked this question. Ready?
The Heidegger Mishnah.
Ha'omer v'lada shazo ola v'hishlamin. Now somebody says, the child in this animal, he's got a pregnant animal in front of him. So he says, okay, I want the fetus of this animal to be a carbon oila. And the mother, obviously can't be an oila because it's a female, so he wants the mother to be a shlamin. It should be a shlamin. Fine, dvarav kayamim, he can do that. But if he says it the other way around, if he says, okay, I want the mother to be a shlamin and the child should be an oila. No! The moment you said that it should be a shlamin, the child also became a shlamin. And now, when you're trying to make the child an oila, it's too late. You can't change a kedusha to be something else. So there, he hareze vladzifre shlamim. At that point, both the mother and the child are considered to be a shlamim, divi Rabbi Meir. Now, it's not clear, again, we say it's a vladzifre shlamim, whether this is because the kedusha of the mother was chal on the child, or is it that since he hadn't, we're going to make this clear in the Gemara, since he was unable to say first, I want this to be an oila, then the moment he said it's a shlamim, he means all of it is a shlamim. Unless he says otherwise, but he didn't say otherwise. He should have specified.
Would you say that it being a female, it can't be shlamim?
No, we never said
that. We never said
ola can't be. So says Rebbe Meir. Now this is Rebbe Meir's shita all over Shas. His shita is, tfos lashon rishon. When a person says something, that something is defined by the opening of what he's saying, unless it can all be seen as one statement, but that's only where you have the ability to redefine your opening statement. That idea is called tokedei dibur. In other words, as long as you're still talking, you're explaining yourself. The problem is that there are certain things, and kachim is one of them, in which we do not say toch kedei dibur is kedibur. The reason is that it's something that has such immense applications and implications that a person doesn't open his mouth casually to speak about it. So therefore, you know perfectly well what you're saying. You said it's a shlamim, that's it, that stands. What you're trying to do now is change what was said. If you intended to do it otherwise, then you should have said otherwise, which is the way the first case was. First say what the blood is, then say what the mother is. What you're doing now is basically defining what you said, but you can't define ex post facto when it comes to kachim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, listen, I mean, the guy had intended in the first place. I mean, what's he supposed to do? He doesn't have two mouths to say it all at one time, right? So he has to speak in a linear fashion. He's stuck with the fact that he's human and words are only mentioned one after the other. So what do you want from the poor man? He only has one mouth. He can't say both things simultaneously. So why in the world can't we see this as a single statement? Dvarav kayamim. However, I mean, if once he says the words harezu shlamim, he changes his mind. He's nimlach. And then he says, and now I want the vlad to be an oilah. Then of course you'd be right. And the Gemara explains that the chiddush here is, even though it's toch kedei dibur, because since, again, we're dealing with kachim, or, we'll see, there's a little bit of focus over here how to learn. Because according to Tosis, it's a reference to a different toch kedei dibur. Remember, there are two toch kedei diburs. There's toch kedei dibur means in the time that you would be able to say Shalom Alecha. And then there's a toch kedei dibur in the time that a Talmud speaks Shalom Alecha to his teacher, which is Shalom Alecha Rabbi Memori. The Shalom Alecha Rabbi Memori is a longer period. So it may be that only the longer period is not applicable to Kodesh, but the shorter period of Shalom Alecha is still applicable. Right, by the way, this is very Nogea today. Lots of people make a mistake in Mashi Baruch Marga Geshem. So the question is, can you be Mitakin? Or do you have to start the bracha over?
Why not?
Well, what's Toch Kedei Dibur?
It's what?
1 second, 2 seconds.
How quickly do you remember the correction made?
Yeah. Well, it's not Nogea us, because we say anyway Mori Natal around here. But those are good. Those who don't say Mori Natal have that.
Mori Natal covers the
Bidi Avad. Yeah. So anyway, so this is Rabbi Yossi. Now,
is this detectable? We have to trust him on whether he's in love. We can't detect it.
Why? You're not smart enough to detect it? No, it's not detected. Yes. Now, remember our favorite mimer of Rabbi Yochanan that we've had so many times, discussed it in so many different ways, our old kickback, Im Shiaro Mishuyar, Uber Lab Yerachimahu, right? Yep. Okay, so here's Rabbi Yochanan again, and clearly this Mishnah is full of implications for Rabbi Yochanan. Remember that Rabbi Yochanan says, you take a pregnant animal, you make it a chatas, and it has a child, you could choose to be mitchaper with either animal. You want to use the vlad, be mitchaper with the vlad. Want to be mitchaper with the mother, be mitchaper with the mother. That's not a problem. My time. Now, what does that mean, by the way? I mean, this is a little disturbing, isn't it? What happened to the idea of vlad chatas is mesa?
How did Mafish say?
Well, when it's born, you have to let it die.
No, when they act the mafish, what do? He said...
He said, you say, I want this as a chata.
You know, maybe he's phrasing it differently.
Hmm? What would it mean? So, I mean, Rashi time is that the difference... You understand the problem here? One of the five dying katos was the child of a chata. And here comes along with Yochanan and blindly ignores the halacha and says, if you make a pregnant animal a chata, the child could be used or the mother could be used, whatever you want. Well, I thought we have a local motion machine that you can't use the child. The child has to die. How can you just ignore that? I mean, it's like nobody even questions it. Oh, yes, that depends on whether we see the child as being a separate entity. I mean, what happened to that law? So Rashi says that there's a difference between the intent to use the child as the actual chatas and just having a mother that was meant to be the chatas, where the child is just an extra useless appendage, so to speak, we're over there. That's where we have the halacha that a vlad chatas mesa. If your intent is to use the child originally, so then what's the difference between having two chatot for achrayut? You know, the Rashash has a brilliant question on that. Because remember that the reason that we split the cases in the Mishnah between the first three, Tmurat Chatas, Vlad Chatas, and the Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleh, and the last two cases, which were the cases of Chatas Shenis Avra Shnata, and Chatas where he was Mischaper Bacheres, because the latter two cases the Gemara said were not psikalei, they're too complicated, they've got too many pratei dinim. But if what Rashi is saying is true, it means the Vlad Chatas also has Pratei Dinim, because we should have to explain. In a case where your intent was not to use the child of the Chatas and so on and so forth, well, why did the Mishnah seek then to use that as a simple presentation, leaving the details out, which is very misleading? We could have done that with, oh, make up your mind. Either you're going to give us the details or not going to give us the details. Don't give us three cases up front where one of them needed just as much explanation. Beautiful question, right?
Okay.
Whatever, I'm just leaving it to you to see that things are interesting, you know. And it's not good to fall asleep in Daf Yomi. This is the tip of an iceberg. Gosh, imagine to be able to spend your life just on the question of whether Im Shiyar or Mishuyar. Baruch Atah Adonai Noah Eloheinu no Melech Ha'olam Shekol Mi'en Nivron. Or on one particular mollusk. I mean, you can, you know, which one is it going to be? So my timer, Kasav Rabbi Yochanan Im Shiro Mishuyar. So what's the logic over here? Clearly Rabbi Yochanan holds, look, if you want to leave off the Kedusha from the Vlad completely, you could do that. You could say the mother is a chatas, the child is chulin. Why? Because Uber Lav Yerachimomu. And therefore, in making them both a chatas, what am I doing? It's like being mafresh, te chataot la achrayut. What I'm doing is basically setting aside two animals. What's the difference if one of them happens to be inside the other one? I mean, that's just coincidental. But the reality is, I'm setting aside two animals separately for a chatas. Okay, now, you know, you can think yourself of the difference of vlad chattas between the child of a chattas that becomes pregnant and a vlad chattas that you set aside to be a chattas with your kedusha initially, where it's not a vlad chattas. It is a chattas. Maybe a vlad chattas only means a chattas that became a chattas by virtue of having been born to an animal that became pregnant.
First generation, second generation.
How old does an animal have to be if it's given as a chattas?
Usually Shana, Ben Shana.
Shana, Ben Shana. Yeah. So you'd have to keep it for a year in order to love Krivato, right?
No, Ben Shana means within its first year.
Oh, within its first year.
Right.
In other words, after 8 days.
After, yeah, exactly. Miyom HaShemini V'Av. Okay, so that's why he says that Rotsam, if you set, in the same way, if you set aside Shtei Chataot La'Akrayut, Rotsa mitchaper ba, rotsa mitchaper b'chaverta, you can choose whichever one you want. Same thing over here. You basically have two chataot la'achrayut. Now, isa gadai takshiyaro mishuyar. If you're going to try it, by the way, I feel terrible. I raised the problem in the Gemara yesterday about the contradiction in the Brisa and the Mishnah in what the din is, whether the cholent pot, whether it's already in the cholent, I never answered it. So remind me afterwards to get back to it. It's the Isar Gadai. Oh, no. Yeah, but you say that happens to you a lot. Im Now, the question is like this. In the Mishnah it says, we just had, he Shlamim, somebody who wants to make a mother Shlamim and wants to make the Vlad an Ayla. So it says over there, it becomes a Vlad Shlamim. Now, hold on a second. The issue, according to... Let's think about this for a minute. Remember, what's Rebbe Meir's problem over here? He says, look, the moment you said the mother's a shlami, the whole thing is a shlami. Okay, there's two ways of understanding that. The whole thing is a shlami because the kedusha of the mother devolves upon the embryo, which is a piece of the mother. Or the whole thing is a shlami because basically you have two animals over here, a mother and a fetus, in which the fetus is not just another organ in the mother, but you said that they should be a shlamim, and you didn't specify that you want one of them to be something else. By the time you specified, it was too late. Those are two completely different ways of looking at the issue in the Mishnah, correct? According to Rabbi Yochanan, which way is the correct way?
They're one animal.
Doc, get a wrong answer, you have to choose. You always only a choice between one and the other.
50%.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, im shiaro mishuyar, which means ubar lav yarachimo. You treat the ubar as if it's a different animal. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's two animals. So why then is it Rebbe Meir saying it's all shlamim? Because you said it, meaning the conglomerate in front of you, which means you have basically the parent corporation and all of its all of it, exactly. So the child is basically a franchise. So you say it, but what you're really saying is both they, right? So then why does the Mishnah say the reason that it is a shlamim is because it's a vlad shlamim? It's not because it's a vlad shlamim. It's because it is a shlamim.
A shlamim universe.
In and of itself.
Are you trying to take Moshe Baruch's place?
No, if you would have said, she is a she, just this she, instead of zo,
she,
meaning it's female, then the vlad might not be.
Perhaps. That's possible. You specify the female element, and you didn't include a male uber. So, how do you explain that, huh? Isaac, let's see it inside. But Isaac, that if you entertain the notion, like Rabbi Yochanan does, that shiarom mishuyar, you can leave out the vlad if you want. So what do you mean, harezu vlad shlamim? What do you mean? It's not a vlad of a shlamim, it is a shlamim. Harezu shlamim is what it should have said. Harezu shlamim. Why does the Mishnah say Harezu V'lak Shlamim according to Rabbi Yochanan? So Harezu Shlamim, unquote, by Midna, is what it should have written in the Mishnah. Omer Rav Tabla, says Rav Tabla, Barmine De'ahi, forget about that one, man. Because we know Omer Rav Latana, when the Tana said this Mishnah over to Rav, Rav said, you have it wrong, sir. The correct language to read in the Mishnah is Tzni, read that, Harezu Shlamim. So in fact, if anything, the correct Girsa in the Mishnah would have supported Rabbi Yochanan's contention that we have over here two separate animals, not a mother which has a Vlad Shlamim inside the mother. There are two animals that are Shlamim, one happens to be in the other one. Amazing. Okay, so this is not a problem in Rabbi Yochanan. Now how about the following case? How about in the case of a human that has a child in her uterus? Now, this human belongs to you. Why? Because you bought her. So she is a shivcha knanit. So you say to your shivcha knanit, look, I like you, and you will remain a shivcha. But the child with which you are pregnant is hereby freed. So at Shivcha, but Vladek ben Chorin, your child is free. Well, that didn't come out. So im haita meuperet, in fact, she's pregnant. Zachtalo, she was zoche to be kene the freedom of her child. Now, let's try to analyze what this implies. If we disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and we view the child as being inseparable from its host, so it's basically a parasite on the host and it represents one organism, so then we're saying, in other words, uber yerachimo, that what you're looking at in an embryo is an extension of the mother. That would explain why she is Zofa. Why would it explain why she's Zofa? Because the problem is that when you are Meshachar and Eved, saying that it's Meshachar don't help. You have to actually be Makna in its freedom and write a Shtar, correct? So therefore, how can she be Zofa? You know why? Because if she and the embryo are one entity, then this is similar to a case where a man goes over to his Eved and he says, I'm freeing half of you. The thing is, if you say to an Eved, I'm freeing half of you, then the Eved is actually Kona half of himself, and you now become partners in his ownership. He's a partner with you.
The better half.
More efficient.
Yeah, but that's what
now this has all types of very important implications. Financial, it sounds crazy, but it has profound financial implications. The guy likes his Eved. The Eved may be worth $10,000. He says to it, look, I can't afford to free you. I would like to free you. I'm freeing half of you. You can lead half of your life. You can basically, all you have to do now is raise another $5,000 by the rest. And so on. That I can do for you.
And he works for Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's our fine. It's a basically chatziyev. So the din over there would be, it's like mishakre chatziyavdo, umani, and which shita holds that in freeing half of an eved, the eved actually is kona his half. It should say Rebbe. Umani Rebbe. This would be Rebbe shita. The Tanya, as we learn, hamishakre chatziyavdo. According to Rabbi, Yatsa Lecherut. Why? The Gito Viado Ba'in Kachat. His hand, meaning the power that he has. Normally, how can an Eved be Kona something from his Rav, since the Eved's hand is an extension of his Rav? But since over here, what he's being Kona is the right to a hand, it's a simultaneous thing. He gets the hand as he's making the Kinyan, to make the Kinyan. Half. But that's sufficient to begin with. He was given the right to be Kona half. He was given the art to be Kona's half. But on the other hand, Abar, Iyamri Chiro Mishuyar, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that you actually see the embryo as a separate entity, and Uber Lav Yerachimo, because the embryo is not seen as an extension of the mother. So now what are we actually doing? It's like you own two Abadim. One happens to be inside the other one. But you own two separate Abadim. You now free one of these Abadim. And the way that you want to free one of these Abadim is by handing his friend the shtar that frees the other one. You've got two Abadim. So you want to give Bob. No, not Bob, sorry. So, what we need is...
Name, good name. George.
No. We need a slave.
Rufus.
Leroy.
What was the name of the guy in the famous play? To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh gosh.
We're going to be politically incorrect.
Not that
we
think
of it. Well, what is that?
Will.
The lawyer is
Atticus. Is it Will?
I think it is Will. I think it's Will.
Everybody's hiding behind the door at the end.
I think it's Will. But anyway, so we want to give Eved A the shtar to be Meshachrer Eved B. You can't do that. Because Eved A does not have a hand of his own to be Mekabel a shtar from you. It's like you take your shtar out of one hand, put it in the other hand. You didn't accomplish anything. Because he's not being free. So since over here the Shivcha is not being free, and the child in her is a different entity, it's not her. So half of her is going free. She has no yad to accept that shtar. And basically, you didn't do anything. So how could she have been koneh the rights to the freedom of the child?
Yep.
You see the problem?
Yep.
Shamai zakhtalo. Why would she be then be zocha for her child, Vatanya? You know, every time the Gemara does these kind of things, it's just... just makes me think of how incredible it is to be educated as a child that is learning Gemara. Do you understand what this does to your mind? It forces a child to know how to think clearly, distinguish. It all looks like one big mush to most people. Even when they graduate college, it's all a big mush. And here you had little children thousands of years ago that were growing up with being able to see that abstraction as being the same case, or you have to distinguish how it works, the mechanisms, the details, and separate them out, and which factors are important. Which, I mean, it's thousands of years ahead of anything that the world had. The implications of this are for the human mind. It's outrageous. Imagine the jealousy of it. It was like a different species almost. The low
butter.
Huh?
A hot knife through butter.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
Learning about penalties.
Yeah, that part's relatively unimportant.
Really?
Yeah. In a sense, yeah. I mean, I'm talking in terms of the development of the mind.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Aren't 5 or 6 of these Nobel Prize winners? Jewish?
No, it's always like that.
But what about
when the rest of the world had nothing? No education. Complete, the world is just a big blank.
Dark ages.
No calendar, no sense of what's going on. It's amazing, just amazing.
Rabbi Rabinovich wrote a book, Deductive and Inference Reasoning in the Talmud, etc. Like in the first chapter, he takes a Mishnah about the time and shows this thing, what is best to a child's mind.
Beautiful.
Shows like when this rule of logic, like is in the 16th century, they had a Musa,
the leaders, the greatest, came up with the Musa. You know, it's unbelievable. Okay, so anyway, so we see from here, because Nirin Chayevet Zoch Lekaba Gachichro Shochavero Miad Rabo. Yes, you may be able to be mekabel a get shichro for a friend of yours if you are an eved, if the man who's giving it to you is not your own master. Rabo she'eino shalom. But you certainly cannot be mekabel from a yad rabo shalom, because then it's just he's moving it from one arm to another arm. And in this case, the mother and the child are owned by the same man. It happens to be the child is inside the mother, which is irrelevant, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And what's happening is he's giving the mother, who is a friend of the child, a get shichra for the child, but she doesn't have the ability to accept it because it's her own master. So therefore, it shouldn't work. Elishma, man, it seems clear that im shiaro eino mishuya. And Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. The tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan, tiyufta. This would show Rabbi Yochanan to be completely wrong. Now, Lamaisa, and this is one of those cases where even though we say tiyufta, tiyufta, we go right back and try to figure out how Rabbi Yochanan can be saved. Tosfos points out this is done sometimes, even though normally tiyufta, the second tiyufta is like a checkmate instead of check. But there are cases where the implications are so powerful that we pretend it's a checkmate, but we'll still have a comeback, which changes the board basically, and then we can start again. So one of the things is, if we could show that the question of im shiro mishuyar is a machlokes tanoim, okay, then things could work out. So lema im shiro mishuyar tanoim, would we be able to force Rabbi Yochanan at least to accept the fact that he is right, but only according to one Tana? Because, just take a look, the Tana. Ha'omer l'shivchato ha'reat bat chorin uvladech evet. Suppose he frees the mother and wants the child to remain a slave, the opposite case that we had here. Says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, vlada kamoha. If she's free, the baby's free. And the Chachomim say, no, dvorot kayamin. Actually, he can keep the baby and free the mother. Mishum shenemar, because it says, Aisha v'yiladeha tiyele adoneha. The woman and her child belongs to the master. What? Krah, ma'itam with the Rabbanah. How does that prove the Rabbanah's point that he gets to keep the child while freeing the mother? Amar Rabbah says, Rabbah, no. That, the last piece, shenemar, is going back on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is saying, since the Torah puts together the mother and the child and says they have the same din, Aisha v'yiladeha tiyel adoneha, so this is going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Tani Vlada Kamala, he's claiming that the child has the same din here as the mother. Why? Because it says, Aisha v'yiladeha tiyel adoneha. B'sha'ah she'aisha adoneha, Vlada adoneha. As long as the mother belongs to the Adon, so does her fetus. But the moment that Bismansha Ein Isha Ladonea, if she doesn't belong to him, because he gave her a get shikur, then he has automatically freed the order. Okay, now doesn't that, the simplest explanation of this machlokas is that they're basically arguing in Rabbi Yochanan. My life, welcome to Flickit. That Rabbi Yossi, who says the two are interrelated, yes, obviously he holds, a fetus is an extension of mother. You can't have one halach on the fetus and one halach on the mother, and therefore, shiro eino mishuyar, try to leave over a different state on a child than you have on the mother, it's impossible, because uber yarachimo. Rabban and Sabri, it is mishuyar. And there we go. So we have a straight hamachlokas. Says Rabbi Yochanan, absolutely not. It's not a hamachlokas. Everybody holds a me. I do. Yes. Kuleyam ashiyar amashuyar. Of course, I'm right. Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan agree that imshiyar amashuyar. The very fact that we needed the pasuk Aishavi Ladeat Yel Adonea tells you that this is a unique case where the Torah insists that you have no rights in this case to put a din of avdus on the fetus when you're freeing the mother. But the technical ability to do so would have been there if not for this pasuk. So if anything, it supports my contention that Im Shiro Mishuyar is the natural and logical state of affairs, unless the Torah has insisted that it takes away that right from you, which is what it's done over here. V'ol kainu taima d'yamakai, yishav yiladeh, t'yeladoneh. Okay, but vada lema kihani t'anoyim. definitely the following is a machlokas tanoim about Rabbi Yochanan. He's going to have to agree that at least if he's right, he's only right on Liba one time. Still going to Taiwan?
No, I'm actually going to the parking lot to get my kugel in about 5 minutes.
You could stop here on the way.
I will. But it'll be sight tight to see you.
What is this, Mark Lord? The time. But 5 minutes still leaves you 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm following it.
Okay. Ashochet et hakatat. How about this case? Somebody, we had this before, also in the context of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha-shochet et ha-chatzat, in fact, we had this whole case before, so it won't be new to you. Somebody sheks the carbon carcass and finds inside of it a fetus, which is undeveloped, and it's only 4 months old, let's say. Remember, it takes 5 months for a carcass to come to full term. Of course, if it's an oiler, then it only takes 4.5 months. Tony Chwada. So one man, the Omar says, "Ain there kelat ela lezichrei kuna." This animal that was found inside of the chatas had the same thing as the meat of the chatas. You have to feed it to kohanim. Males can only be eaten for that day. Ain there kelat ela lezichrei can only be eaten inside of the Beit Hamikdash, inside of the Azara, the walls. Whereas the other price says, what are you talking about, man? Me'achalat b'chol adam, anybody can eat it, you don't have to be a kohen. Me'achalat b'chol makom, you can eat it wherever you want. Me'achalat b'olam, you can eat it whenever you want. So, I mean, obviously, what apparently, I mean, what they've got to be arguing about is that the Tanakhama holds, look, if the mother's a katas, the child's a katas, what it has nothing to do. It has the same din as the mother. So he holds shiaro eno mishuyar. You made this thing, and we're assuming right now that the animal was pregnant when it was made a carcass. So when you made it a carcass, you made the whole thing a carcass. You can't separate out the child. Whereas man savar shiaro mishuyar, whereas the other man, the armor says, why? All you said was the mother should be a carcass. Remember, it said the child should be a carcass. The child is chulin. So since it's chulin, you shef the mother, take out the fetus. That's like anything else. Remember, the shechita of a mother is perfectly okay for you to eat the child. So fine, the child is meat, basically. So it's embryo meat. Yeah, it's great. Vendicle. Sort of. Vendicle usually when we don't know when it's born, it's walking around. That's fine, but it's the same outlaw. Amar lachar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rabbi Yochanan, no, absolutely not. Once again, everybody agrees with me. Of course, in Shiaro Mishuyar. There's a question over here not about an animal that was pregnant when you made it Kodesh. The question over here is the animal became pregnant when it was already Kodesh, which has nothing to do with my halakha. That has to do with the question of when the Kedusha comes. Does it come only at birth, which we saw in Omen Aleph? Does it come only at birth, Bahavayatanen Kedoshin? Or does it come be me'eiman in Kedosh? That's what they're arguing about. Since over here you shechted the animal before it ever gave birth. So if you hold that the Kedusha on a child of a Kodesh animal only appears at the moment of birth, this was never born, so it's not Kodesh yet. If you hold that it was Kodesh as it developed, so then it is Kodesh. Nothing to do with me. I was talking about a case where the animal is chulin and pregnant. Now you're making it Kodesh. It doesn't become pregnant as a Kodesh animal. This, what are you bringing in? A price has nothing to do with me. Please. Everybody would have agreed with me if it would have been an animal that was cool and that I made Kodesh.
Whether he knows about it or doesn't know about it?
It makes no difference.
What about Sierra or not a year? What position is it?
It's not Nogaya. No. Blood is Kachim or by definition Kodesh. Because the Torah gave it a gift. The question is when? So therefore, what are they arguing in? Mar sova bloody kachim babaya. Tana in kedoshim, mar sova bloody kachim me'iman in kedoshim. We're talking about a different case. Or you know what? You know what? I got a different explanation. Maybe these two tanoim are not even arguing. Maybe they're talking about two different cases. One was talking about a case where you were magdish the animal and then it became pregnant. Okay, so that's bloody kachim. And in that case, maybe both would have agreed that it's only Kodesh when it's born. And since it's Kodesh when it's born right now, it's cooling. And when it says it was Kodesh, even now, before it was born, that was talking about a case where it was pregnant and then I was Magdashit, and therefore, and when I gave it Kedusha, I gave it Kedusha Katas, both to the mother and to the child, and therefore the child has Kedusha Katas. Because everyone agrees with me. Maskev for Rabbah. Rabbah says, you know, why is everybody out to attack Rav Yochanan based on an assumption? Assumption being that the reason that he says that you can use either the mother or child is because he holds im shiaro meshuyar. So because of that, you bring these cases about the shifra and the blood and that, all to prove that im shiaro eino meshuyar. Maybe it's a big mistake. Maybe that's not the reason he holds you can use either the mother or child. I mean, mind the time of the Rabbi Yochanan im shiaro meshuyar. Who says that that's his reason? The oma time of the Rabbi Yochanan, the adam mitchaper b'shevach hekdesh. Maybe it's very simple. Maybe all Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that even though the Kedusha on the Vlad comes directly from the mother, and the din is that it's of course, Uber is Yerachimo, and so on, nonetheless, a person has the right to utilize things that were born to Hekdesh for his own kapara. And since over a year his intent is to use the blood as his primary chatas, it's not considered to be a chatas amesa. The only time it's a chatas amesa is again when it's the blood of an animal that you intended to use as the chatas, and this is an adjunct. But over a year, if your intent was to use the blood, and the blood's not an adjunct, then it's not a chatas amesa. Amalei Rav Amnuna, says Rav Amnuna to Rava, you know what you're like? You're like one of these newly from people who has decided that you know more than... Because, I mean, after all, it's all text. So you've got a text, and now you've figured out, well, with this text, I can give you an answer. What you're forgetting is that the original question was asked by Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He's sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, all right? Yosef Lekamid Rabbi Yochanan, and he asks Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah. Now all Rabbi Yochanan had to say is, oh, you silly little boy. You thought it was because in Shiaro Meshiyah. It was because Adam is Mishkapa with Shevach Hekdesh. But Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that, did he? Rabbi Yochanan accepted the question and we analyzed it and so on. Here you come along generations later and you're smarter than everybody else and we could basically throw out what happened because that's not what is important. It's what's written that's important. Well, that's ridiculous. So he's coming to Rabbi Yochanan. Yosef came to Rabbi Yochanan, sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Malo ahadilei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan did not answer him this brilliant answer that you came up with. Hi, Shinuya. But you say, well, we can always learn the time of Rabbi Yochanan Shem Noam and Skaper B'Shevachaykish. What's wrong with you? So therefore, this simply is not the case. That's all. It's all very nice. You want to ask why, whatever, but it's simply not the case. Now, if, on the other hand, you change your mind, says Rabbi Yosef, there I made it. I mean, if you change your mind and now you try to make the blood a different kedusha than the mother, I mean, how can you do that? It's too late. Okay. I mean, everybody knows that. Pshita, I mean, well, that's ridiculous. Of course you can. It's a blood shlamim. What do you think? I'll call Amos to buy Nimlach. Well, you think you can change your mind any time? So now a year later you'll decide, you know what? Maybe we should make the child an Ayla. How can you change your mind a year later? So what's the Kiddush in saying if you changed your mind? Ah, says her father, it's a big Kiddush. It's talking about over here where he changed his mind, but Tov Kedei Dibur. Usually, Tov Kedei Dibur is a sufficient spread, because we understand that language is a spread. It extends over a certain period. So there's an extended present. How far does that extended present extend? As I'm talking, I'm still going to explain myself, and I'm still considering what I'm saying. And so if I'm now thinking, I could simply say, okay, I want this thing to be a shlomim. I know it's pregnant. I want the child to be right. it's all sort of one long thought. It's true you change your mind in the middle because you realize, oh, you know, it's pregnant. I let the child be an idol. Usually you have a right to do that. Comes along Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says, in this case, you do not have a right to do that. And even though you were basically iyunei hadikah ma'ayin, you're thinking about things and working it out in your mind as you speak, which is what we often do. You know, we say something, and it becomes clear as we say it that, well, it would be good to do it this way. Kamashvan, that doesn't work here. Now, there's two approaches as to why that doesn't work. It doesn't work because in Hegdesh it doesn't work. You have no right to be ma'ayin. You have to have in mind what you mean, and that's it. Or, as Tosfos says, he relates this back to other sugyos of Toch Kedei Dibur, there are two Toch Kedei Dibur, as we said before. There's the longer Toch Kedei Dibur, which is the amount of time that it says to say hello to your teacher, where you have to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Memori, that extra Rebbe Memori adds another half a second. And then there's just a plain out, not out this way, Rich. But
that is
so.
You thought it was going to be sealed tight.
What?
They deliver it.
The Kukumaka.
Yeah. Yes, it's quite fantastic. You're going to have to come and pick up the pot. It's
I don't even have to clean it. Better that one.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
All right, so Machos is the source of the...
For Marshmallow!
The long one. What's the source of the shorter Toch Kedei Dibur?
So, Toch Kedei
Dibur. Where's the shorter Toch Kedei Dibur mentioned in Gemara? Where is it? I mean, Machos says the long one.
No, it's in Baba Kama. It discusses both.
Oh, does it?
For Marshmallow, she's coming to say Toch Kedei Dibur does not apply. Right? Above the possible. Toch Kedei Dibur does not apply here. I already said that. We are now going to have a Kiddush in honor of the memory of the Barnea's father's name. Amos Ben Yosef HaKohen. On his card, the Kaddish now.
And I just want to remind everybody here that...
wait a minute, why you can't leave?
Wait a minute! That tomorrow after davening, I have a kiddush at my house
in honor of
my son's
wedding.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the bride and groom are still in New York, but
Togo's here.
We still have dominion.